Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 165.
I'm telling you, man, don't look at me.
I should have. We're down two regulars.
Again.
So, yeah, the people that can count aren't here. So it's the box office report for the week ending March 6, 2016. So we'll go around the table.
It's like a triangle.
This will be quick.
It's not round. This is Joe.
It's Tom. Okay. But we have a guest. Returning. You might remember him from our Straight Out of Compton episode, Orlandez. Hi, Orlandez. How's it going?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks for having me back.
Oh, no problem. I've been asking you back for a while.
Yeah.
But you're just kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
And so.
Me and my jerky jerk job. Slinging records of vintage vinyl.
All got to be gainfully
stuff.
Employed.
Yeah. Adulting.
Paying bills. Ugh.
Wait, they sell pain pills there too?
Oh no!
Oh,
paying bills.
Oh, paying bills. I thought you said pain pills.
No, back of the store.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that part.
That's no.
Thought it was like what was that? What was the
now?
The Patrick
now when
Dempsey
it's over,
movie?
Maybe I can talk. Well, yeah. I said
Patrick
much,
Dempsey
right?
Was the one where he was the pizza delivery guy.
Yeah, where it was like with extra anchovies.
Oh, what is the? He's hooking up with the ladies.
It wasn't Can't Buy Me Love.
No,
was it?
No, Can't Buy Me Love was
that was the one where he pays the girl to be his girlfriend.
Yeah. Dang it. I totally, like, that was one of the first movies I ever saw on HBO. Like, I would walk to my...
Oh, my God, I feel so old. You want to know what the first movie I saw on cable was?
No.
Airplane.
Oh. And technically, the first movie I saw on cable
was
Basic Instinct. That was the first one I ever saw on cable. But the first one I saw on HBO...
I was in college.
God dang, what was that?
That was... Like, when was Basic Instinct?
Like 92? 88?
No.
Was it 80s?
Well,
Fatal Attraction was like 87 or 88 or
right?
something.
Yeah.
So that was before.
Loverboy,
that was it.
Was the Patrick Dempsey movie.
He's McSteamy? No, he's McDreamy?
He's McDreamy.
He would have made a really good.
Basic Instinct was 92.
Okay.
So,
Fatal Attraction was 87?
I think that's like 87.
Okay. Yeah, that was
some form of Michael Douglas. yeah,
those kind of movies were huge for a while.
They don't make those anymore.
They don't.
I'm trying. Basic Instinct 2. That's what killed it. That's what it was.
I think it was dead long before that.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
I just bought Romancing the Stone. Speaking of Michael Douglas,
Never Leaving Your Poor Heart Alone.
That's great.
Yeah, I watched
I've
it the other day.
It
was. It was on the HD Movies, the channel HD Movies, which is a horrible name for a channel because it always just sounds like you're talking about HD Movies. I was watching HD Movies. Really?
Like, yeah.
Were you watching color television as well? Like, it's a horrible name for a channel.
Did you have it on Betamax?
Yeah. How are you enjoying your radio FM frequency transmissions?
That holds up.
Yeah. I remember seeing that movie with my mother. And, like, I forget what was out at the same time. Fatal Attraction was 87, by the way.
Okay.
And I forget what was out at the same time.
This is Kathleen Turner, right?
Correct.
Kathleen Turner,
Kathleen Turner, Michael Douglas.
A sex symbol.
And Danny DeVito.
Ooh. And now she's Chandler Bing's mom. Oh. Or dad. She's his dad.
Yeah, both.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny, like, how quickly the society has progressed on issues when you go back and watch some of those old Friends
episodes.
And
I
you're
did
just
that
like,
the other night.
I think this is offensive. Like, what are, like, it was like, at the time, it was, and, you know, and I think that's why it's so important sometimes to keep things in historical perspective,
mm-hmm,
because it was like that was not their intent at the time.
It was it was a norm,
and it was actually pretty progressive for its time.
Right.
And like you watch it now, and you're just like, ooh,
it's like, it's like
NBC,
All in the Family.
My God,
yeah,
like All in the Family is the same way.
Oh,
like,
but All in the Family was a little different because the point of All in the Family was that this guy was a virulent racist. He was a racist with a heart of
gold.
But
you'll never see that show ever
again.
On cable.
Okay.
I think that show could live on cable.
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
Like on like FX or something.
On like an HBO or an FX.
A channel that can push the limits a little more.
Yeah. Not on network TV.
I think they would soften up the heart of gold aspect.
Giant heart of gold.
Yeah. Because you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like you still kind of liked Archie Bunker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And... you know,
he had likable qualities despite his beliefs.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and then especially now that we're like 40 years removed from the show. It's also, you look at it and go, okay, so that guy was in his supposed to be in his 50s?
I would say late 50s.
I'd say mid to late 50s, I guess. And so he was in his mid to late 50s in the early 70s. So if you think about it.
Okay.
He was raised by people who were born in the 1800s.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah. And those people don't exist anymore.
No. I just buried one like
okay.
6 months ago. My grandma, she was 95.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And she was a mean woman.
My grandfather was in his like 89 when he passed away, but he was not mean.
Yeah, she could be mean. She could be real. Could be really. But that's a whole other story.
We'll save that for your ex-wife podcast.
We'll do the spinoff ex-wife podcast, and then after that, we'll do like a little crazy grandma one shots.
It'd be so good.
It would be. It'd be like serial good. It'd be serial good.
First season, not second season.
Right. So
good.
So Kevin isn't here. So I guess I'll take over the box office report since I'm the only one with a computer in front of me.
Orlando's are like,
okay, Orlando's go. How'd the box office do? Go.
Let's see. Deadpool's still.
it's like that dream you used to have where you're like, what, finals are today?
It happened. So I work on a college campus. Finals were last week, and you could see it. You could see like the rush and like, oh God, I've waited too long. I'm so screwed. We get calls for the library all the time. Can you come pick me up? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. You have a test in two hours. Good luck.
So I guess I will turn my eyes to the box office.
Just get your abacus
ready. And I will have Kevin's abacus at the ready. Abacus. There we go.
Abacai.
Or if you're a Genesis fan, abacab.
Abacab.
See?
Look at that.
You got him, man.
Young guy. Yeah, he's Genesis.
I made a white snake joke last week.
That's nothing.
Cricket.
Yeah.
I got the two old guys to laugh. It was pretty good.
Was good. I get down with the David Coverdale. You know, I got you. It's all right.
The Tawny Katane joke is what it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here we go. Coming in at number one at the box office this week. Probably to no one's surprise, Zootopia comes in at number one with $70.3 million. Dollars.
That's
awesome.
That's a lot.
They haven't missed yet.
Do you think people are starting to figure out, like, okay, obviously Disney's an established brand name.
Yeah, you know? I would agree with that.
Perhaps
come up over the years.
Perhaps one of the first, But they're... The Disney feature animation had been on the downward slide for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Pixar had kind of become the new brand name.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think the average person, I'm talking soccer mom with the minivan, do you think she is starting to figure out the difference between Pixar and Disney?
I don't. They look the same. I think the quality of the work, even now from both companies, they're still firing. I mean, I guess where was the dip? For Disney, was it like so? Princess and the Frog was on the uptick.
Yeah, I'd say Princess and the Frog is a frog, and I can never remember who
Princess
gets
and the
top.
Frog. I have it.
Yeah, Princess.
Okay,
and the Frog.
I own it.
Okay, I would hope the princess got top.
Princess got trust me, on this.
He's like, I have a daughter.
I have a daughter.
I
do.
Yeah.
Trust me.
So
stole it from Blockbuster.
But yeah, Princess and the Frog was the beginning of the upward climb because John Lasseter came back like
so
halfway through production of that
Chicken
film.
Chicken Little.
Oh, I forgot about
and
predates that.
Bolt.
And Bolt predate that.
Okay. So I guess that...
Chicken Little is like this generation's Oliver and Company.
I liked Oliver and Company.
Right, but it's the one right before it got good.
Oh, I see.
You know?
Okay.
Like, it went Oliver and Company and then Little Mermaid.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, I thought Chicken Little was good, too.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
What, Oliver and Company?
No, Chicken Little.
I thought you just said you liked Chicken Little.
No, I like Oliver and Company.
Oh, you like Oliver?
Yeah,
Company.
Yeah.
Okay, now that I get it. I was like, what the hell?
Billy Joel songs in it. What more do you want?
I like Billy Joel, but those are some pretty bad songs. Those were like Uptown Girl.
Old 80s Billy Joel
kind of songs. Like that's. I love Billy Joel.
Don't get me wrong.
But
there's a line.
I also like Uptown Girl.
And that line is Uptown Girl.
I also like Uptown Girl.
Oh, my God.
But like that, after that, it's kind of hit or miss.
It's more great
misses than hits.
On a side note, that's like my absolute favorite joke in Step Brothers, by the way, is Horatio Sands when they're doing Uptown Girl. We strictly do 80s Joel music, sir. That's like, I don't know why that's my favorite scene in that entire movie. Funny, that movie is hilarious, but that scene is the best. I love that scene so much.
Oh, that is funny. I actually have tickets to see Billy Joel in Tulsa.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
making
wow.
the drive to see Billy Joel.
I don't blame you.
I like
that'd
so
be worth it.
But yeah, Uptown Girl, I just can't do.
That's fair.
It's it used to be he always ended with Piano Man.
Yeah,
which makes sense. And I always felt bad because it's like you like to leave to beat traffic, and I'm one of those guys. And I'm like, oh, but Piano Man. I'm like, I've heard it a million times. I don't really care.
But it's always a crowd pleaser.
Maybe he'll do the Spider-Man version. Weird Al did a Spider-Man version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but over the last time I saw him, he switched it up, and Piano Man went second to last, and then Uptown Girl went last. And I was like, that is awesome, because
now I can beat the crowd.
I can still hear Piano Man, but I don't got to sit through Uptown Girl. And because I took my wife, because she had never seen Billy Joel before, and so I was like, oh, they always end with Piano Man. She's like, well, we can leave early. I'm like, you've never seen Billy Joel. I'm like, you can't go to Billy Joel having never seen Billy Joel
and then not witness him
do Piano Man.
Yeah. Right.
That's like, you know, if you go see Sammy Davis Jr., you're going to want to hear Candyman.
Yeah, correct.
It's just the way law, it works. You know? And I remember I saw Sammy Davis Jr. when I was a kid, and he was like, I have 3 hits. And he's like, don't worry, I'm going to play them all. And he's like, I can see. He's like, I got like 90 minutes to fill. And he's like, and I can see like people in the front start to get antsy when I'm like 3 songs in and I haven't done one of the hits. And they're like, is this son of a bitch not going to play hits?
And he's like, they're fixing. It's like the Candyman.
Yeah. He's like,
Candyman he goes, can.
He's like, I promise you.
He will.
I'm gonna
he
play,
better.
I'm going to play all 3 of them. I promise you. And said he would count them off as
that's
the night went
good.
Through.
My dad actually had on VHS, he had a... like some when they were at the old Kiel Opera House, the Rat Pack stuff that they've got.
I've heard about that.
It
show.
Exists.
Yeah.
I have it. It's been officially released commercially now.
Really?
Yeah, and like Carson hosts it.
Yes.
Because it was supposed to be Joey Bishop was the MC, and he got sick, and they brought in Carson.
Very, last minute.
A super young Carson. Very young Carson. I think it was like the first season of The Tonight Show.
When is this show? Like 63 or?
63 or 64.
Okay.
Yep. And it was a PBS special, too. They showed it on PBS.
That's where he ended up getting it. Like,
yeah.
I think PBS played it.
Right.
And he recorded it on VHS.
Yeah. Yeah, some people have come into the store asking for that before, and I've like, it seemed like a myth at first.
Yeah,
it's
a real thing, and it was commercially released. I forget who did it, but
probably Time Life, I would get. Like, didn't Time put out all that Tonight Show stuff?
The
roast stuff?
They do the roast of Carson maintains control of all the Carson stuff.
Well, Antenna TV just recently started re-airing a lot of those Tonight
Yeah,
shows.
They licensed Ooh, the old, yeah. And they're showing full episodes.
Yeah.
Like,
it's real sporadic. Like one night.
I don't think
that's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, if you watch SNL on Netflix,
they
always
take that cut the songs.
Well, that's why they haven't put out. I have the first 5 seasons in SNL, but for some reason after season 5, they're just like they've stopped it because
I think
of music rights.
Yeah, I think because streaming's where it's all at, and it's not. You know, I've also noticed that a lot of TV isn't getting upgraded to Blu-ray.
I have noticed that as I went to go buy Agent Carter. The first season on Blu-ray, and you can't find it. It's not existent.
Really? Hmm. I see it now. Newer TV, not so much. I was speaking more on classic TV, so that's interesting.
Yeah, like I went to Amazon, and like they have it listed, but they're like, it's not
it's
in print.
Not
anymore.
Existent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's only streaming. Like you can get it streaming, but.
I have, again, showing my age, I have the complete Columbo.
Ooh.
Box set
Blu-ray
on Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
And it went, and my wife got it for me for our anniversary.
That's a 1 year.
1 year, yeah. And the first, in case you don't know, the first first anniversary is Trenchcoat.
Is that right?
No, No, it's not right at all.
I don't know what the first like, anniversary. Like,
oh, it's paper.
It's paper, right?
Paper. Yeah,
first one's paper.
So my wife got me the Constantine code. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's full of demons and or horrible stuff. It's great,
but
very promising.
But the Columbo Blu-ray was never released in the States, so she had to buy this like weird Japanese import. So all
is it all region free? I'm guessing.
All Blu-rays are region free. Yeah. And so it's got all.
Remember when that was a thing,
right?
Yeah, I got the European cut of Army of Darkness. Like I just bought it from Scream Factory, and they have the regular cut, the director's cut, like a European cut.
I had bought it when back in the early 2000s. I had a region free DVD player. Like I bought a DVD
player.
That
was where the money was right there.
That would play any
yep.
DVD. Like didn't you know? Like it didn't have a region
like
code
UK,
in it.
Germany.
Yeah, so I could buy anything.
Yeah,
I was running.
Didn't discriminate.
I was running free. Yeah,
literally.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the Columbo box, that's crazy because it's like that's like 18 seasons because they were making Columbo episodes up until like 2003, 2004.
Really?
The very last. Episode of Columbo.
What network airs those?
CBS?
ABC. It started on NBC.
Okay.
The good ones were on NBC when it was a show originally.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got canceled and it came back in like the 80s as like a movie of the week type of thing on ABC.
Sort of mini series ish type.
Not
feel.
A mini series so much, just little one shots. And yeah. They might do two or three a season.
Something to remind you it's
ABC
not,
used to be on like Sundays. They used to do like those Sunday night movies.
Yeah. Right.
That's when I remember seeing it.
Yeah. And it was, and at that point, you like watching Peter Falk, but the shows aren't as good.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, it just pretty much became like Murder, She Wrote with Columbo.
Oh, man.
Like it was, you know, which is better than Cosby Mysteries with Columbo.
I've always heard about that. Cosby Mysteries.
Speaking of TV, and we'll go to the number two on our list. speaking of TV, I was looking at TV DVDs because they were having a sale on Amazon to see, and it, like Cosby Show, the complete series,
$2,
$27.
Man, wow.
That's like what 10 seasons of television?
Yeah, yeah.
I was in a Twitter conversation with listener Cynthia Chow.
Yes, librarian Cynthia.
Librarian Cynthia, and she made a joke about. Because I guess I had said something how I can't, like there are certain, Bill Cosby was like one of the building blocks of my sense of humor.
This is not hyperbole. I had a picture of Bill Cosby on my wall as a child.
Yep.
Like that's, I had.
Like
I had,
he was a part of the family.
Like, yeah. Yeah, like I had in my bedroom, I had a collage of like all the comedians I loved. Mm-hmm. And there was like a huge 8x10 of Bill Cosby.
And I just, it breaks my heart. Like it breaks my heart, not because I believe that he didn't do it. But it breaks my heart that like that person that I
admired so wrong.
Like, I know. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Like
it's a childhood dream crumbled.
I wanted to hang out with like Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's just gone. And like we made it. Oh, is the
as if growing up wasn't hard.
I know.
Enough, right?
Now my people I looked up to are awful people. it was the what's a Cubit joke?
Oh,
and
that's
we were just
right.
Like,
yeah.
That's such a great skit.
It
and,
is.
And it's
and forever
it's
tarnished.
It is.
Forever tarnished.
You're not word I'm can say so Kevin doesn't have
you
to.
Beep, beep.
Yeah. Chicken noise.
Honk, honk.
Yeah, you got to wonder, like, does it, do you ever get enough distance there that you can go back to that?
It's hard. Like, no. I mean, I have to. So if. And he's going to be convicted.
He's going to have to save, like, he's going to have to find a cure to cancer or something like that.
I don't know. He's going to be convicted just because.
I think there's, like, one or two that are
they were
this.
So long, and it's so hard to convict people for that. Now, you're going to have a hard time finding a jury who is truly impartial. And when I say that, I mean that can truly sit down and be like, okay, let's ignore everything we've heard in the media.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Let's
like
not
clean slate.
Let's not bring in any evidence that we kind of already know about. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's impossible. It's
undoable.
It's like OJ all over again.
Yeah.
Like that watching this, that thing on FX. And I didn't realize that, like,
of course,
that,
people said there was no way he wasn't going to get convicted.
It's true. They didn't get him on the murder. They got him on that robbery. That he's up for parole.
Well, and he lost the civil case for the murder.
Big time, yeah. But I mean, like that trial wasn't tried in a courtroom.
No,
like, it was tried in the media.
Yeah,
and that's what, you know. Did you see they found that knife?
Yeah,
I've been hearing about that.
They
like what's the are they like? Is his old house getting
it's
like,
gone? Like
demolished?
They're gonna tear
or something?
It down.
Okay,
and then somebody found
a knife buried
in the backyard, and the cop was like, "I'll just take it," and took it. A construction worker who was working on demolishing the house found it,
uh-huh.
Turned it over to a buddy of his who was an LAPD officer, and the guy just kept it. So he called.
Wait. Are you expecting me to believe that there is a shady LAPD officer?
I mean, I know it's not outside.
I don't know.
The plot thickens.
Yes, I've never heard of such a thing.
Right. So this guy calls a buddy of his who is still working for the LAPD and says, "Hey, what's the case number for the O.J. Simpson case?" And the guy's like, "Why?" And he goes, "Well, I got a knife here that was found in the back of O.J. Simpson's house, and I'm going to frame it and put the case number on it." And the other cop's like, "Give me the knife." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And like, they say there's blood residue all over it. There's all kind, like, who knows what the real story is, but, and they're talking about how they can't try him again for double jeopardy.
Yeah,
but if there's new evidence.
No.
Is that right? Even if they find new
Correct.
Evidence. Okay.
Yeah.
So he may have gotten away with a double murder.
Now, where you can do is you could try them on a federal level for like a violation of civil rights. So like the LAPD police officers, the ones that beat the crap out of Rodney King.
Yeah.
That's how they got acquitted and then retried and convicted. They were prosecuted at a local level and then
it jumped to feds.
And then they were acquitted and then they got prosecuted for violation of Rodney King's civil rights at a federal level.
Interesting.
But that's very rare. But I mean, if normally it's only really, really high profile cases,
and I don't
of
know
which
how
this would be one.
I think it's the high profile case. I mean, in my lifetime, I think. I can't think of anything else
the
that
past,
was.
Jeez,
that was. I was in grade school, so that would have been 90.
I think that was
97.
Four. Oh, the OJ case.
Yeah.
I think it was like 95.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah.
That they did a thing at WrestleMania. There's my wrestling reference. WrestleMania 12. They Goldust versus Roddy Piper in a backlot brawl. And then so they're filming in the back in Orlando or wherever they are. And Goldust takes off in a white Bronco. And then they start showing the OJ footage. And like Jerry Lawler's like, "This footage seems very familiar." And I don't know why. And the whole like time, like the race back to the backlot is the OJ footage. It's just the white Bronco driving down the highway. Yeah. That's a real thing that happened.
That's tasteful.
Yep.
It was tastefully done, though.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Classic WWE.
World Wrestling. Yeah. The World Wrestling Federation. They pride themselves on being tasteful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Precisely. So.
Anyway, number two.
Number two. Hang on. Let me get back to that window.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Coming in number two, London has fallen with $20.5
wow,
million.
Really?
Dollars. Yeah. I don't know what the last one did. The last one was like one of those like weird kind of hits that I guess just kept chugging.
Morgan's in this one.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't even see, what was it, Olympus?
Olympus has fallen. Yeah. So that is I think North Korea kidnaps the president. Played over the, I own this movie on Blu-ray because it's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Die Hard in the White House.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I got that mixed up with what was the movie?
There
that
was
White
House
Jamie,
Down.
Jamie Foxx,
yeah,
Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum.
Awful. Yeah.
Okay, that just looked terrible.
Yeah,
and they came out like right at the same time.
They did,
like a couple months apart.
So Gerard Butler is kind of like the Secret Service agent that has fallen out of the good graces of the president, but they're like best friends, and now he has to fight his way back to save the president.
Was he in?
Did they fall
Olympus?
In love?
No.
Oh, I was hoping.
Yeah,
fall in
he
love.
Was in that. Too?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it's Aaron Eckhart, Two Face.
Okay.
Gerard Butler.
Was he the president?
Aaron Eckhart?
Yeah.
Yes.
It would make sense that Two-Face was president.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Totally normal.
Yeah.
And he is chewing the bejesus out of some scenery in that movie. Like, he's just going for it. He didn't even care. But yeah, like, it's awful, but it's super violent. So, like, and like that kind of makes up for.
Mm-hmm. Do you get to see like all the secret rooms in the White House and
kind
stuff?
Of
because like there's this author named Brad Metzler who he writes comic books.
He did,
And he writes a lot of books about, like, he's kind of like a poor man's John Grisham. And
I would agree with that, actually.
And he writes a lot of books about the White House and, like, all the, like...
Like Book of Lies and Book of
Secrets.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. Book of Fate.
Book
of
Fate, yeah.
And
it's a lot of books.
A lot of books. Yeah, a lot of books. And but there's always a lot of stuff, like...
It was like National Treasure.
Kind of. Where, yeah. But supposedly, like, he's done a lot of research on the White House, so his stuff is... Pretty accurate.
Pretty intact.
Like, now, the storylines are obviously made up.
He's a fantastic comic book writer.
He is.
Yeah.
He
wrote some of the best. Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis was really good.
Yeah. That got a little real. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you lobotomized Batman? I'm sure that'll go over well. Spoilers.
Yeah. Well, it's been like 20 years, yeah. So they had their shot. So coming in number three, Deadpool, $17 million, bringing its total up to $311 million.
That is mind-boggling. Jeez. Mind-boggling that movie has made that much money.
Yeah.
I never in a million years when they were like, we're going to do a Deadpool movie. I was like, awesome. Good luck on your $50 million budget, and that's all you're going to do.
Yeah, they hedged their bets, and they were
right.
And they, boy, paid off.
Yeah, big time. I'm sure Ryan Reynolds is like, woo!
Yeah. He's like, oh, my career is alive.
God.
You know, it was a good way for Ryan Reynolds to hedge his bets, though, because the way Deadpool worked is that even had that movie collapsed, and his career probably would have collapsed along with it.
Yes, it would have.
But he could have spent the rest of his life just doing conventions.
He could have. He's like, hey, I was Green Lantern and Deadpool.
Wizard World Paducah. See Ryan Reynolds.
He's shacked up next to Jason Frank. Is that his guy? The Green Ranger.
Is it the Green Ranger? No. That's everything?
Yeah.
Does he like own Wizard World? I think he knows, as I got to be there working, I might as well set up the booth.
Right, yeah. I think he knows that if he doesn't do this, he will not make any money.
But like...
And he's there at all of them, and there's...
But here's the deal. Like, I'm older than you guys, and so, like...
What?
Dude, the Power Rangers, really? Do people care?
I think, like...
Enough for him to be there every year?
No. Like, it was cool. Like, I saw him twice. Like, he doesn't do just Wizard World. Like, he's at C2E2. He's everywhere.
Yeah, like...
I don't know how you can afford...
To make
I feel like he just lives in, a Winnebago. And just drives from city to city.
Like Trapper John.
Yeah. So I think it depends on the ranger. So like if Amy Jo Johnson
actually, it was Gonzo
shows up,
on Trapper John that lived in the RV.
Oh, was it?
Trapper John. Yeah. There was a surgeon that lived in the parking lot in an RV. That's what now I have to go back and do TV history for Orlando. Okay. So
I'm a TV geek, but I don't know all
okay,
this other
so
stuff.
So there was a show called Trapper John MD. Okay.
What?
Yeah, it was on CBS, and it was like an hour-long medical show, and it took place... The show happened, I guess, in like the late 70s, early 80s, but it took place in the present day. And the premise, and they kind of like skirted it, was that like this may or may not be Trapper John from MASH. It was played by a different actor, because he was supposed to be like 70, right?
Uh-huh.
And he was the chief of surgery. At some hospital, Boston, I think, because Trapper John was from Boston. And and so then there was also like this young upstart surgeon who was like the, you know, devil may care kind of, and he lived in an RV like in the parking lot, and that was
interesting.
But yeah,
all right.
I only ever remember them making one reference to MASH, and it was like in the pilot episode, like you see kind of like grainy footage of the Korean War, and then he wakes up and he was like having a nightmare flashback.
Do you think that show would like so MASH ends and you have all of these great characters,
right?
Do you think any of those characters could have gone on to do like a solo show, or
well,
do you
based
think,
on the fact that they tried it and it didn't work, then
who,
I would have
with,
said,
but I mean like
they did after MASH.
Oh yeah, but who all was on that?
You had Klinger, Potter, and Father Mulcahy.
Okay.
And they shot a pilot for Radar that never got picked up.
Shocking.
It
but
was
I mean,
called
if you
Walter,
used, like, Hawkeye.
And it was W*A*.
Oh.
Asterisk, like,
oh, good.
It was called Walter. Took place in St. Louis. He played a police officer. He had left Ottumwa, Iowa, and had moved to the big city. Who's the blonde comedian that's like crazy conservative now from SNL?
Oh,
Victoria Jackson.
Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, she was on it. Yeah. And
really?
It only aired in like half the country. And they shot it as a pilot, and the network used to do stuff back then where they would, if they shot a pilot and they weren't going to air it, they would burn it off in the summer.
Right.
You know, because it was like, well, might as well. And they would do like, you know, it's like the... You know, CBS Showcase Theater or whatever.
If it hits, we can do it. If it doesn't, don't
yeah.
Care.
And so they
one's talking about it.
Right. They aired it once, and it got preempted in like the western half of the country by the Democratic National Convention. So it only aired once, and that was in like half the country.
That's
it was
funny.
On YouTube for a while, and then it got pulled, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, if those, if well, Like Hawkeye, like could he?
I think Hawkeye could have sustained a show, but if Hawkeye wanted to be a sitcom, he would have just kept doing MASH.
That's true.
You know, because because that show lived and died with Alan Alda. That's Alan Alda true, came in that day and said, "We're not going to make MASH anymore."
Like, okay,
you're like, "Okie dokie, we're not going to make MASH."
I guess we're done with MASH.
Yeah, that's
war's over.
And the reason after MASH in its first season was actually a fairly sizable hit, and in season two, it just crashed and burned because they put it on directly against the A-Team.
Duh. Oh. Dun dun dun.
Yeah. And this is all in my head. None of this is on my computer.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's comic books.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you.
Weird.
Hey, I think about the same thing often with everything else, trust me.
You ask about the historical television, and I'm off to the races.
Yeah. You bring up Norman Lear for me, and it's just like, hey, Jefferson's All in the Family, Maude. Good time.
All in the Family, that,
once again, see, so
there it is.
Produced more spinoffs than any other show in the history of television.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you ever see any of the, what was it called? It was, I might have the address wrong, but it was like 782 Hauser Street. Do you know the show I'm
that
talking about?
That sound familiar,
that's,
but...
That's the address of Archie Bunker's house.
Archie Bunker's house?
Yeah. And I might be off on the address, but that's roughly the, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, but the premise of the show, and I believe it
and
starred John Amos.
Wow, okay. And this wasn't Archie Bunker's place?
This is not Archie Bunker's place. This was like, I want to say this was in the early 90s, and the premise was that
a black family moved
into the bunker
house.
Wow.
But YouTube.
But there was like the patriarch of that family hated white people the same way that Archie Bunker hated black people. And so it was a great idea, but I don't think
it didn't. Yeah. The chemistry was like, and it was the 90s too. Then
I'm trying to remember what
I was like when they tried to do right when that 70s show that you thought they were going to end it. They did a show called
that
80s
show. I remember watching some of those
live. It's awful.
Only last like 4 or 5 episodes?
I think
or
you're
something?
Being generous. They actually, when you look at the cast.
And I think it was a summer thing, too. I definitely remember watching. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, I dig
I
that 70s show.
Show.
And by the end, there's
I hate the 80s.
Oh, why did you do this to me?
I think they had Seth Meyers' brother, I feel like, was on it.
Well, I know he was on the last
season. He was on the last season of that
70s show,
but I think
he
was
on that as well.
And then
there was somebody from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I thought. Was it Dennis?
It could have, yes, possibly. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
I think so.
But they also had the chick who plays on Supergirl now, the sister.
I think I would know her face.
She was the not hot girl in Not Another Teen Movie. Where, like, she is the hot girl, but, like, she, you know, she,
when
she takes her glasses off and puts her hair down, she's hot.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can't tell that she's nerdy. But, yeah, she was on there, too, as, like, the super punk chick.
Okay.
And it was just kind of like, this show's terrible. Was this what the 80s were like all the time?
Yeah, the show was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
704 Hauser was the name of the show.
Okay.
It ran from April 11th to May 9th.
Wow.
1994. A spinoff of All in the Family, and it says the series is built around the concept of a black family, the Cumberbatches.
Oh, that's
funny because it's
fortuitous.
Like, yeah. Well, it's funny because now you think
Benedict
Cumberbatch. I'm just like,
his long lost.
I'm like, you couldn't have picked a less black sounding name if you tried. Yeah. Moving into the former Queens home of Archie Bunker years after Bunker had sold the house located at 704 Hauser.
Interesting.
All in the Family character Joey Stivick, Archie's grandson, makes a cameo in the first episode. And it says Norman Lear created the series during the time when conservative talk radio was experiencing its initial upswing in popularity, particularly in the form of Rush Limbaugh.
Talk
Lear,
about going back in time.
I know, right? Lear felt that the time was right for a new show to explore some of the issues being discussed, and 704 Hauser was even more explicitly political than All in the Family. How could it be more explicit? Do they just sit there and read the editorial page of the New York Times? Like, and yeah, John Amos, a veteran of the earlier Lear sitcom Good Times, itself a spinoff of All in the Family spinoff Maude, starred as Ernie Cumberbatch, while Lenny Godfrey played his wife, Rose T.E. Russell, played their live-at-home son, Thurgood Marshall Goody Cumberbatch.
The show that's a name.
Yeah, the show featured a reversal of the original All in the Family formula. Ernie and Rose Cumberbatch were blue-collar working-class Democrats, while their son, Goody, was an assertive conservative activist in the vein of Armstrong Williams, Walter Williams, or Thomas Sowell. To add further conflict, Goody's girlfriend, Sherilyn Markowitz, played by Mara Tierney, was white and Jewish, with whom he had chosen a celibate relationship.
She what was she on? ER.
Yeah.
She was on ER for
and she's
a while.
On that show The Affair now.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Probably not on that show though.
Let's say was it in the second episode of the first season of All in the Family, Archie mentions a black friend from his old neighborhood named Roundtree Cumberbatch. Mike replies that he thinks the name is made up. So I guess they're saying that this might or might not be some relative of, I think it's just a coincidence, but it's interesting that Norman Lear would work with John Amos again because he had some issues with
yeah,
him.
That was the like, whole Jimmy was, Walker and
yeah,
the writing and
yeah, and yeah. He was not a fan of the direction that Good Times
was
went.
Going.
And
interesting.
And I think I've told this story on the podcast before, but do you know the story about the episode where they killed off John Amos? The backstory on the script for that episode?
I know of the episode. I don't know about the history of it though.
We back up. All in the Family. Carol O'Connor, like I think in going into the fourth season, was holding out for more money.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple episodes that he's just not on. They had to write around him.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I know it, not to cut you off, but I know there's a bit of a similar story with San Francisco, just my all time favorite show.
Yeah.
But Red Fox was like that too towards the end of, I think, the fourth season. And he's just not on
and
it. Like, because,
and they basically give all his lines to Grady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of the same thing too because he thought his Archie Bunker was like his, you know, it's competition. So
right.
He's just like, I should be getting paid a lot more than him.
Yeah.
And NBC kind of like, you know, showed out for it. And he was just like, well forget you guys.
Right.
Just like stayed off. And then he was like, okay, we'll bring you back. The show sucks now.
do you remember Sanford Arms?
I've seen one episode of that. I've seen like one episode. I think it was like a rerun TV Land did years ago on like other spinoffs of other shows.
And, yeah. They tried to bring it back, Sanford and Son, in the 80s. And it was called Sanford Arms.
Yeah.
And he opened up like a motel.
I think it was next door or something.
Yeah, like next door or something.
I think Esther was on it.
I think Esther was on it too. Yeah. And then like there was this big biker looking guy that kind of took over the what was his son's name? I'm totally talking
Lamont.
Lamont.
Yeah.
That took over the Lamont role, and he was just, you would recognize the guy if you saw him. Like
now?
he was whenever you needed a biker in a show or
a movie,
this was your go to guy.
Right.
I think he might even be one of the bikers in the Bad to the Bone scene from Terminator 2.
Oh really?
Yeah, I'm not 100%.
It's been a while.
It's the only guy that I can think of is the bartender. Like he's the guy who's.
But
like
yeah,
he's got like a big beard, and
yeah, it might be that.
I can't let you take the man's bike, son.
Yeah, but anyway, so on All in the Family, Carol O'Connor's holding out for more money,
mm-hmm.
and they get sick of it. So Norman Lear finally writes up a script, and it's called Archie Dies, and he sends it to Carol O'Connor, and he's like,
"Oh boy,
you can show up next week, or this is the script that we're filming." And then he showed up, so they obviously didn't use the script. So when John Amos started his stuff on Good Times,
don't tell me they just omitted Archie
just
in
did
each script
find
or
replace.
Each name.
Right. But yeah, it's essentially that script is the Good Times script is a modified version of the Archie Bunker Dies.
That's funny.
All in the Family script.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank God for Whiteout.
Yeah. Maybe not the best choice of words, given this.
I guess that's true.
The sitcom we're talking about, but
that's a good point.
I think John Amos had a pretty steady career after.
Yeah, he did.
Coming to America, Roots, West Wing,
He did all right.
I think so.
He did okay for himself. And a lot of people don't realize, on the Jeffersons, why they switched Michaels. George Jefferson's son.
Right.
And the reason they switched is you know this, right?
Well, I know the first Michael was based off of Michael Evans.
Good Times. Well, because the first Michael left to become the head writer for Good Times.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he left the show, because he was like, I'd rather write. And then I think they end up switching back. He's like the original
later.
Becky on Good Times.
Becky on Roseanne.
Yeah.
And he comes back in the later episodes.
That sounds right, too, because I think I've seen some later episodes.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, wait a minute, is this an early...
Sarah Chalk was a better Becky.
Yeah. So they flip back, and it's because at that point, either Good Times was over or... Because
Jefferson's was on a lot longer.
People forget how long. Jefferson's
was
on like 84, 85.
Yeah.
Like, wow. It was on a long time.
Yeah.
So, but...
And that was back when NBC didn't cancel anything.
Yeah. Well, Jefferson's was on CBS. Most of the normal air stuff was CBS, except for Sanford and Son. That was NBC.
That was NBC.
That was like NBC was like, we need some of those type of shows.
Yeah.
And like, come over here. And
you
they,
come over here and make them for us.
Yeah. So anyway, back to movies. Coming in number 4, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, the new Tina Fey movie.
That's out?
Yeah,
I didn't know. Okay. I thought that was coming out. I didn't
know. No, it's out. It made $6.9 million, which for the size of the movie it is probably
going up against some big stuff too.
Yeah, and I saw it. It's solid. It's nothing amazing.
Is it a straight up comedy?
No, it's like a mixture. You know, it's funny when I reviewed it on the radio. I actually kind of said it reminds me a little bit of MASH in that regard.
Yeah.
That it's like takes place in a war zone, and it's like there's like, you know, silly stuff going on, but then there's also serious stuff going on too.
I will say the trailer that they show on TV makes it look like a straight up comedy.
It does, yeah,
like a straight up Tina Fey.
And it's based. Is it loosely based on a true story?
Yeah,
too?
She plays a journalist who kind of at the age of 40 gets sent over to be a war correspondent because she's just like isn't happy with her life. So she's like, sure, why not? And it's based on a memoir that an actual journalist. I can't remember what it was called, but. But yeah, but they changed the name, so it's very loosely based, but it is rough. It's kind of sort of based on a true story. So.
Man, Tina's been putting in work. Jeez.
She has. Yeah. Sisters, for sure.
And then producing Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
On the side,
Was that supposed to? That was supposed to be an NBC show, wasn't it?
It was, and
then
they didn't pick it up.
Said no, and then Netflix.
Yeah, I don't think it would have worked on network television.
Probably not.
It's too quirky.
Yep. And I like everybody on it. The one chick is from St. Louis. Aaron from The Office is from here. But yeah, like I've watched the first, I don't know, 3 episodes. And I was like, this would not. It's almost like there's 2 shows on FX. It was like Wilford and that new Zach Galifianakis one where he's like a clown for hire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are dark. Like, you think that there's supposed to be a little levity to them, and it's not.
Yeah.
Like, the it's super dark. And the, dang, I can't think of the name of that Zach Galifianakis. Like, I got through another one, like 2 episodes. I was like, nope. Nope. Like, too dark for me. I can't.
It's
do
a Saturday morning. Yeah, for Christ's sake. Jeez.
I'm going to watch It's Always Sunny. This is way better.
Right.
But yeah,
you're
like
I'm
going
to stop binge watching and take this gun out of my mouth.
Right. And I watched I'm going to go to The Flash. Like, yeah. Give me some hope. Something. Good Lord.
So coming in at number 5, Gods of Egypt made $4.4 million.
What's wrong with you, America?
Bringing its total up to, that's a 69% drop. So
it needs to be higher.
I think I can give America a pass on that. Because
okay.
I got to say, they're making worse decisions at the moment.
That's true.
So
that's true. That's a good point.
So we'll
that's
just
a very good point. Yeah.
So that brings its total up to $22 million.
Vote for a guy who talks about his penis size.
How'd you like to be the fact checker on that?
Good Lord. And then the other guy eats a booger.
What the? What is going on?
Like you're watching it and just like, there's no way. Like this.
I still haven't watched it. I've just heard about it.
It's insane. Yeah, it's just absolute insanity. It's like watching. I like the meme where. At like 2016 or like 2016 there's no way Trump will win. 2017 there's no way Trump's gonna do that. 2018 hey, are we watching the Hunger Games? Because I really hope my district wins.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, because it's getting there.
Yeah.
Coming in number 6, Risen made $3.7 million, bringing his total up to $28 million.
Speaking of the GOP,
yeah. This is the Jesus police procedural movie. Do you know the movie we're talking about?
I've heard about it.
It's like it takes place at the time of Christ, like literally, like he's just been crucified, and Rome decides that they need to find the body because they don't want anyone. It's been prophesied that he'll rise from the dead, so they're like, find the body, make sure the body doesn't get away, so we can prove that that didn't happen. Well, then the body gets away, and then it's like, well, you got to find who stole that body. So
weekend
now
at Bernie's.
So now, yeah. So
hey, Easter is coming up.
Yeah. So now he's got to go out and find, and then it becomes like a police procedural as he's like out busting heads.
I gotta tell you,
people.
It's like, what did you do with Jesus?
You had me at police. Like, I love police procedurals, like a lot. Like, that's of all genres of television and movies, I love them. I'll watch any. I don't care.
Yeah.
I would watch that.
Well, like, it doesn't stick with it long enough.
I know.
Because then, of course, he realizes and he converts, and it's, you know, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say that
he comes back.
That Jesus rises from the dead. Even if you don't believe that, I don't think it's a spoiler that the movie they made is going to end that way.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's Risen with a 46% drop. Should have a nice bump coming up for Easter.
So. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, make a church.
Yes. Coming in at number 7, The Revenant made another $3.5 million off of all of its Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
And
did that get a bump up?
I don't know what it did last week, but this week it only dropped 11%.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like it was like 9 or 8 or 9 last week.
Yeah, so brings its total up to $176 million.
And Deadpool says, ha.
Yeah.
but whatever.
Leo. Like, but I got an Oscar.
beer mauling, whatever.
Yeah. Where was I? Revenant. Number 8, Eddie the Eagle, made $3.4 million, bringing its total up to $11.2 million.
That is actually put out by Marv. Marv put that out.
Marv Albert?
No. Like the did Kick-Ass and the English patient. The Englishman.
Oh, okay.
They did all that. Like, that's the same company.
Kingman?
Yeah.
Kingsman?
Yeah. Secret Service is the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
I just saw a trailer for it, and the Marv was the first thing that popped up. And I guess that's Mark Millar's or Mark Miller's thing.
How about that?
That's all his movies came out of Marv, yeah.
Yeah, that's an odd choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. The guy who directed...
Feel good story.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy who directed Porky's also gave us a Christmas Story.
And also gave us Black Christmas.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I just found that out like a few weeks ago. I was one of my IMDb like things or something. And I
just
was
go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. I think I might have been looking up Black Christmas for some reason. I don't know.
It's
like
awesome.
The first one. And
second one's not good. Remake's not
new
good.
One, oh,
original
God.
One's great.
Yeah. But
Margot Kidder and the Gallop.
Man, that
Juliet.
Scene like that always with the shadow and yeah, that's oh man, that's classic.
That's a good horror stuff.
Never seen it.
Are you serious?
Really? I'm a horror guy.
I'm not a big horror guy, but I've realized about myself I'm more of a 70s horror guy though.
I get that. Yeah. The horror I do like
stuff.
Is about mood.
Okay.
And that's all you the 70s mean? Were.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A lot of the 70s stuff was.
Yeah, I'm like my Blu-ray collection, it's like, you know, typical stuff, but horror-wise, Exorcist, yeah. Carrie, you know, that kind
and those
of thing.
Are about mood. I mean, they have their shock scenes, but they're to me, they're more about mood. You know, Blair
the
Witch.
Omen.
I like Blair Witch, The Omen. I like The Conjuring.
Conjuring's fantastic.
That's all about mood.
You know, I never saw that.
Oh,
one.
Dude.
The first Conjuring. Well,
like, the first Conjuring is straight up.
Is there, there's more than one?
Well, there's another
coming
one coming out.
Coming
and then
out.
They did a spin-off one about the doll in the opening
Don't
scene.
Do that
It
one.
Was awful.
Oh, okay.
Like, don't. The Conjuring is a straight up 70s horror flick.
I've heard
like,
that.
It's they have the same, like, credit sequence.
It's not even R-rated.
No.
It's like PG-13.
Oh, 13?
Yeah.
And there's a reason. Because, like, he is. It's weird because James Wan. Like started with Saw, and he started with kind of like the torture porn stuff, Dead Silence. He did one with Kevin Bacon that was kind of like a remake of Death Wish. It doesn't matter. But yeah, he did The Conjuring, and then you're kind of like, oh, wow, this is really good. And it's based on a true story.
Yeah,
quote,
air quotes.
Quote.
Yeah.
But I think Conjuring 2 is going to start in Amityville.
Do they get the rights to that? Because that was part of the problem.
No, they're not gonna talk about it.
Because that was part
they're
of the problem.
Be like leaving
so
Amityville.
Conjuring is based around the premise is that it's like this husband and wife who one was gonna be a priest or he's a former priest or
the Warrens.
Yeah,
yeah, he was gonna.
And
be
they would go and kind of debunk these
spirit,
you know, stuff like that for the on behalf of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church would hire them to go and be like prove that, and so. And sometimes they do debunk it, which I liked from a film standpoint. I like the fact that not everything, like, that's what I hate about these, like, ghost
the
chasing
odds
shows.
Completely.
Like, not every week odds, you find a ghost.
The odds are not in your favor.
Yeah. And so, but they're a real couple.
I think Ed's dead.
Yeah. And, Ed's dead, baby. Ed's dead. So they're, but their most famous case was Amityville.
Yep.
But they don't own the rights to Amityville, so they have to kind of dance around.
I think Paramount may have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they're...
Another classic as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even the remake's pretty good. Like, as much crap as I tend to give Ryan Reynolds, but I love Ryan Reynolds, like he is a convincing psychopath in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like he says in interviews, like, I kind of just stayed away from the kids because of what I was going to have to do to the kids. So he's like, I didn't want them to feel like... a connection towards me, because like there's one whole scene where he's making this, so you look at Ryan Reynolds and he's a massive individual in real life, so he's making this kid hold a log and he's just swinging this axe as
there's
hard
been
as
a couple episodes where I had to hold a log
on this one. It's probably gonna be this one.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he is,
can we pause?
He is super good in that movie. But yeah, they're like the main case for the second one is the thing over in London, like the Edinburgh haunting or whatever, but they're going to be leaving Amityville is going to be in the front part, like the begin. They're leaving.
I think their goal is to try and reacquire those rights to do their version of it, and they're trying to lay the groundwork for like, hey, this is who these people are.
Look, it's Amityville.
Yeah, uh-huh. Totally. Yeah. So coming in at number 9, Kung Fu Panda 3.
That took a giant hit.
Yeah, 62%. So here's the thing: if you take your kids to see Kung Fu Panda 3 the week Zootopia opens, perhaps someone needs to contact DFS.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
Yep.
Like, I'm not trying to judge you as a parent, but you're an awful one.
Yeah. What do you think?
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go see the...
Really? Zootopia's out, and you're like, I guess we'll finally catch Kung Fu Panda 3.
It's a double feature. We'll settle. We'll say that.
I would... Unless you have, like, a...
attachment to... Jack or
well then you I should have seen it by now. Maybe it's right. finally no longer a no pass engagement.
Yeah,
right.
But that wouldn't go into its box office totals.
Oh, that's true.
That'd be a free ticket.
That would be a free ticket.
So I don't know.
Who are you people? What are you doing?
What is wrong with you?
Zootopia was sold out.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Probably. That's so rare in today's
it
world
is.
Though.
You can't do that.
It was even when I saw it though on because I saw it the day before it technically came out. I saw it Thursday night.
Yeah. And, I love those Thursday soft opens.
Yeah.
So nice.
It wasn't I don't know if it was sold out, but it was pretty close.
Really?
Yeah, it was, and that was at Esquire. So,
oh wow.
Yeah.
And then it was in the big room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although their big room isn't near as because they went to those bigger chairs.
They've done some great work on that theater.
It no longer smells like day old vomit.
It doesn't.
So that's a step in the
right direction. I used to stray away from it, but as of the past few years,
they've done a great job. Yeah, that's a very good theater now.
Yeah. So and then coming in at number 10 is The Witch with a 57% drop, bringing its total up to $20 million, which that's a lot of money
for
a movie like that.
A lot of money for a horror flick in the like middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Good job.
So thank you. It was all me.
Well done. Yeah, yeah. Good looking out.
Produced that film. Yeah. So I don't like to bring it up.
Are you Jason Blum?
I am.
Oh,
so
great.
So anyway, that's your box office report.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin. That's what I always say. So there we go. We're done. It's weird to be like doing both, to wear both hats. So I guess we'll go around the table and people can say where to find them if you want people to find you on social media and whatnot.
Orlandez, once again, I am on Twitter. My handle is RetroVinylKid.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, you can find the show online if you would like to continue the conversation, to have something you want to throw in. We're always there and replying to people. We love to have
a little chit chat.
Yeah.
Even when somebody sends us a message that's kind of mean, but all right. We had one where the guy was like, he was not happy about, we were talking about the whitewashing of Gods of Egypt.
Oh, okay.
And like the dude went off. Like it's like,
yeah, that's
like
right.
On Facebook, right? You usually do like a one sentence, two sentence comment.
It was
not
a
this
bit
guy.
Of
this was like a paragraph and like
a
all
detailed.
Caps.
Yeah. Well, then I don't remember. Did I?
Indentation.
Yeah.
I read it and I was like, whatever.
Well, I'm trying to remember like
right after that. Well, first off,
didn't I kind of say some of that on the show?
I feel like we did. I don't
sometimes
remember.
We talk about stuff before the mics start rolling. And so I don't remember.
I know I definitely mentioned like the earth was flat.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about Gods of Egypt in that like there was a lot of controversy because it's like it's in Egypt and it's pretty much all white people. And then like but then I was like, when you see the movie, what they're doing
that is true. You did
it's
say
like
that.
The,
yes.
The movie isn't like trying to be realistic in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So it's like the gods are in charge and walk among like gods and regular people. Like they see each other at the grocery store. Like it's like like that's what's going on.
It's
in the
commonality.
Movie. Yeah, and it's just like and so it's just a ridiculous concept. Now that being said, if so on the one hand, like, okay, you're not trying to be realistic, so it's not as it doesn't matter on that hand. But on the other hand, if you're not trying to be realistic, it also doesn't matter the other direction.
Correct.
So, so that's really not the, you know.
Right.
Like,
win-win, lose-lose.
Yeah.
Take
right.
Yeah. Some comedies like, when you look at the Republican National Convention, it's not all white anymore. And I'm just kind of like, what does that have to do with anything?
Damn.
What does that even mean?
Like, no, they make sure that they find those handfuls.
Don't you worry.
We'll get some sprinkles in here.
Yeah. Those guys up front.
they're like seat holders at the Oscars.
Yeah.
No, you can't leave.
Yeah. They're like, here, wear this adult diaper. We never know when the camera's going to cut to where you're at. You need to be here at all times. And then the story will be like, GOP made black man poop in his pants. ass on national television.
I just had to go to the bathroom.
They wouldn't let me leave.
Why wouldn't they let me leave?
Vote Sanders.
So anyway, if you want to have a conversation like that with us on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/realspoilers, or you can email the show at realspoilers@reviewstl.com. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes, so you can go there and rate and review and subscribe. We really appreciate it. And I just realized I forgot to do our League of Show Sharers, so you will have to wait until the next episode, and I will give you your League of Show Sharers then. And coming up on the next episode is Zootopia, so that should be a good one. Stick around. You've been warned.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.